is, it is said that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and then another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. Purport. The system of hearing from undisturbed authorities is approved in this mantra. Unless one hears from a bona fide acharya, who is never disturbed by the changes of the material world, one cannot have the real key to transcendental knowledge. The bona fide spiritual master who has also heard the Shruti mantras, or Vedic knowledge, from his undisturbed acharyas, never presents anything that is not mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.25, it is clearly said that those who worship the Pitris, or forefathers, attain the planets of the forefathers, that the gross materialists who make plans to remain here stay in this world, and that the devotees of the Lord who worship none but Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes, reach him in the spiritual sky, in his spiritual sky. Here also, in Sri Shupanishad, it is verified that one achieves different results by different modes of worship. If we worship the Supreme Lord, we will certainly reach him by his eternal abode, and if we worship demigods like the sun god or moon god, we can reach their respective planets without a doubt. And if we wish to remain on this wretched planet with our planning commissions and our stopgap political adjustments, we can certainly do that also. Nowhere in authentic scriptures is it said that one will ultimately reach the same goal by doing anything or worshiping anyone. Such foolish theories are offered by self-made spiritual masters who have no connection with the parampara, the bona fide system of disciplic succession. The bona fide spiritual master cannot say that all paths lead to the same goal and that anyone can attain this goal by his own mode of worship of the demigods or of the supreme or whatever. Any common man can very easily understand that a person can reach his destination only when he has purchased a ticket for that destination. A person who has purchased a ticket for Calcutta can reach Calcutta but not Bombay. But the so-called spiritual masters say that any and all paths will take one to the supreme goal. Such mundane and compromising offers attract many foolish creatures who become puffed up with their manufactured methods of spiritual realization. The Vedic instructions, however, do not uphold them. Unless one has received knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master who is in the recognized line of disciplic succession, one cannot have the real thing as it is. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2, Evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidu sakala neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it is, appears to be lost. When Lord Sri Krishna was present on this earth, the bhakti yoga principles defined in the Bhagavad Gita had become distorted. Therefore, the Lord had to reestablish the disciplic succession, beginning with Arjuna, who is the most confidential friend and devotee of the Lord. The Lord clearly told Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita 4.3, that it was because Arjuna was his devotee and friend that he could understand the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, only the Lord's devotee and friend can understand the Gita. This also means that only one who follows the path of Arjuna can understand the Bhagavad Gita. At the present moment, there are many interpreters and translators of the sublime dialogue who care nothing for Lord Krishna or Arjuna. Such interpreters explain the verses of the Bhagavad Gita in their own way and postulate all sorts of rubbish in the name of the Gita. Such interpreters believe neither in Sri Krishna nor in his eternal abode. How then can they explain the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna clearly says that only those who have lost their sense worship the demigods for paltry rewards, Bhagavad Gita 7.20 and 23. Ultimately, he advises that one give up all other ways and modes of worship and fully surrender unto him alone, Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Only those who are cleansed of all sinful reactions can have such unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord. Others will continue hovering on the material platform with their paltry ways of worship, and thus will be misled from the real path under the false impression that all paths lead to the same goal. In this mantra of Sri Shupanishad, the word sambhavat, by worship of the supreme cause, is very significant. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and everything that exists has emanated from him. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Here is a correct description of the Supreme Lord given by the Lord himself. The words sarvasya prabhava indicate that Krishna is the creator of everyone, including Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And because these three principal deities of the material world are created by the Lord is the creator of all that exists in the material and spiritual worlds. In the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 124, it is similarly said, He who existed before the creation of Brahma and who enlightened Brahma with the Vedic knowledge is Lord Sri Krishna. Similarly, the Narayan Upanishad states, The Supreme Person Narayan desired to create all living beings. Thus from Narayan, Brahma was born. Narayan created all the Prajapatis. Narayan created Indra. Narayan created the 8 Vasus. Narayan created the 11 Rudras. Narayan created the 12 Adityas. Since Narayan is a plenary manifestation of Lord Krishna, Narayan and Krishna are one and the same. The Naradi Upanishad 4 also states, Devaki's son Krishna is the Supreme Lord. The identity of Narayan with the Supreme Cause has also been accepted and confirmed by Sripad Shankaracharya, even though Shankara does not belong to the Vaishnava or personalist cult. The Atharva Veda Maha Upanishad also states, Only Narayan existed in the beginning, when neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor fire, nor water, nor stars, nor sun, nor moon existed. The Lord does not remain alone, but creates as he desires. Krishna himself states in the Moksha Dharma, I created the Prajapatis and the Rudras. They do not have complete knowledge of me because they are covered by my illusory energy. As also stated in the Varaha Purana, Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him the four-headed Brahma was manifested, as well as Rudra, who later became omniscient. Thus, all Vedic literature confirms that Narayana or Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. In the Brahma Samhita 5.1 also, it is said that the Supreme Lord is Sri Krishna, Govinda, the delighter of every living being and the primeval cause of all causes. The really learned persons know this from evidence given by the great sages and the Vedas, and thus they decide to worship Lord Krishna as all in all. Such persons are called Buddha, or really learned, because they worship only Krishna. The conviction that Krishna is the all in all is established when one hears the transcendental message from the undisturbed Acharya with faith and love. One who has no faith in or love for Lord Krishna cannot be convinced of this simple truth. Those who are faithless are described in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11 as mudhas, or fools or asses. It is said that the mudhas deride the personality of Godhead because they do not have complete knowledge from the undisturbed Acharya. One who is disturbed by the whirlpool of material energy is not qualified to become an Acharya. Before hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was disturbed by the material whirlpool by his affection for his family, society, and community. Thus, Arjuna wanted to become a philanthropic, non-violent man of the world. But when he became Buddha, by hearing the Vedic knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Person, he changed his decision and became a worshipper of Lord Sri Krishna, who had himself arranged the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna worshipped the Lord by fighting with his so-called relatives, and in this way became a pure devotee of the Lord. Such accomplishments are possible only when one worships the real Krishna and not some fabricated Krishna, invented by foolish men who are without knowledge of the intricacies of the science of Krishna described in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. According to the Vedanta Sutra, Sambhuta is the source of birth and sustenance, as well as the reservoir that remains after annihilation, Janmad Yasayataha. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the same author, maintains that the source of all emanations is not like a dead stone, but is abhijna, or fully conscious. The primeval Lord Sri Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.26 that he is fully conscious of past, present, and future, and that no one, including demigods such as Shiva and Brahma, knows him fully. Certainly, half-educated spiritual leaders who are disturbed by the tides of material existence cannot know him fully. They tried to make some compromise by making the mass of humanity the object of worship, but they do not know that such worship is only a myth because the masses are imperfect. The attempt by these so-called spiritual leaders is something like pouring water on the leaves of a tree instead of the root. The natural process is to pour water on the root, but such disturbed leaders are more attracted to the leaves than the root. Despite their perpetually watering the leaves, however, everything dries up for want of nourishment. Sri Ishapanishad advises us to pour water on the root, the source of all germination. Worship of the mass of humanity by rendering bodily service, which can never be perfect, is less important than service to the soul. The soul is the root that generates different types of bodies according to the laws of karma. To serve human beings by medical aid, social help, and educational facilities, while at the same time cutting the throats of poor animals in the slaughterhouses, is no service at all to the soul, the living being. The living being is perpetually suffering in different types of bodies from the material miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. The human form of life offers one a chance to get out of this entanglement simply by reestablishing the lost relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. The Lord comes personally to teach this philosophy of surrender under the Supreme, the Sambuddha. Real service to humanity is rendered when one teaches surrender to and worship of the Supreme Lord with full love and energy. That is the instruction of Sri Ishapanishad in this mantra. The simple way to worship the Supreme Lord in this age of disturbance is to hear and chant about his great activities. The mental speculators, however, think that the activities of the Lord are imaginary. Therefore, they refrain from hearing of them and invent some word jugglery without any substance to divert the attention of the innocent masses of people. Instead of hearing of the activities of Lord Krishna, such pseudo-spiritual masters advertise themselves by inducing their followers to sing about them. In modern times, the number of such pretenders has increased considerably, and it has also become a problem for the pure devotees of the Lord to save the masses of people from the unholy propaganda of these pretenders and pseudo-incarnations. The Upanishads indirectly draw our attention to the primeval Lord, Sri Krishna. But the Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary of all the Upanishads, directly points to Sri Krishna. Therefore, one should hear about Krishna as he is by hearing from the Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, one's mind will gradually be cleansed of all contaminated things. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 says, "By hearing of the activities of the Lord, the devotee draws the attention of the Lord. Thus the Lord, being situated in the heart of every living being, helps the devotee by giving him proper directions." The Bhagavad Gita 10.10 confirms this, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te." The Lord's inner direction cleanses the devotee's heart of all contamination produced by the material modes of passion and ignorance. Non-devotees are under the sway of passion and ignorance. One who is in passion cannot become detached from material hankering, and one who is in ignorance cannot know what he is or what the Lord is. Thus, when one is in passion or ignorance, there is no chance for self-realization, however much one may play the part of a religionist. For a devotee, the modes of passion and ignorance are removed by the grace of the Lord. In this way, the devotee becomes situated in the quality of goodness, the sign of a perfect Brahman. Anyone can qualify as a Brahman if he follows the path of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18 also says, "Kiratahu nanda pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kasadaya yenye cha papa yadapashra yashraya shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave nama." Any low-born person can be purified by the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord, for the Lord is extraordinarily powerful. When one attains brahminical qualifications, he becomes happy and enthusiastic to render devotional service to the Lord. Automatically, the science of God is unveiled before him. By knowing the science of God, one gradually becomes freed from material attachments, and one's doubtful mind becomes crystal clear by the grace of the Lord. One who attains this stage is a liberated soul and can see the Lord in every step of life. This is the perfection of Sambhava, as described in this mantra of Sri Ishapanishad. So it's such a nice mantra because it says that clearly we get different results from different kinds of activities in this world. And especially the Srimad Bhagavatam says that when we come to the human form of life, we have a special prerogative to understand the difference between those two things. Because if we don't understand the difference and we just think anything I do is okay, then we lose the opportunity to actually come to the perfection of human life, which is described here briefly and in the Bhagavad Gita in more detail. And that is that we're affected because we're tiny jiva souls. Krishna explains who we are in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamayavamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We're eternal. And we have an eternal connection to God, to Krishna. And we have the same quality as God, but in quantity, we're tiny. We're a fragmental part. And therefore, because we're tiny, we have the tendency to be controlled by our environment. When we're in contact with the material nature, which is composed of sattva, rajas, and tamas, three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, then we become affected by those modes. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that because of our association with goodness, passion, and ignorance, we attain all types of varieties of situations, some of them good and some of them bad, within this material world. But the ultimate goal is to make steady progress out of the mode of ignorance, above the mode of passion, to the mode of goodness, and then to transcend the mode of goodness and come to the transcendental platform. Mamcha yovyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. This state beyond the three modes of material nature is called Vishuddha Sattva. It's completely pure state of spiritual consciousness. And how can that be attained? Directly by engaging in devotional service, Krishna says. Under all circumstances, sticking to devotional service to the Lord, then one will rise above the modes of material nature and come to this Brahman platform. And the Brahman platform is described by Krishna as Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. This is actually the real consciousness of the soul proper. To be engaged in spiritual consciousness means that, first of all, what is the first symptom of someone who has attained spiritual consciousness, according to this verse? He's what? Actually, the first symptom is that he becomes joyful. Prasanatma. And Prabhupada often says this, that the symptom that you're making advancement in spiritual life is that you become joyful. Now, first of all, material life is a great burden because we're unnecessarily identifying ourselves with the material body, which we're not. The body is a machine. It's made of levers and pulleys, and it's full of liquid, which miraculously the whole thing through homeostasis keeps going on somehow. The heart's beating. Even advanced medical scientists cannot say why the heart's beating, or trying to decipher how the brain works, or even what is sleep, no one's really come to much of a definite conclusion about that. So it's a very complex machine, but we're not the machine. We're not the body. And anyone who's seen someone leave their body can see this very clearly, because one minute you see that a person's there and the consciousness is there within the body, and the next minute you can see a complete stillness and there's no more consciousness within the body. However, the body's still there. Everything is still there. The arms are there, the legs are still there. Therefore, we told the story about in the province of Ushinara when the King Suyajna was fighting on the battlefield This story is told in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was a great battle, and he was a valiant soldier, and he died in the battle. And many other soldiers killed on the battlefield, but he was a great king. He was bejeweled. He was very handsome. He bit his lip when he died out of his prowess. And there he was lying on the battlefield with his limbs were broken and dust was on his face. And his followers and his queens, so they all came there and they were crying that he was dead. And Yamaraj heard this crying. And he appeared there as a little boy to give them spiritual knowledge. So as they were crying, when they were crying, he was laughing. And then they stopped and they said, "Little boy, we're crying. Hari, why are you laughing?" And he said, "I don't understand what you're doing here." And they said, "Well, the king has died." And he said, "What do you mean he's died? He's right there." And he said, no, see, he's dead. He said, "He has the same eyes. He has the same ears. He has the same mouth. He has the same legs. What's the difference?" He was asking them, what's the difference? The eyes were there before, and now the eyes are here now. How can you say that there's a difference? So he was asking him this question. He said, "The person that is gone, you never saw. You never saw that person, actually. Because the soul is very subtle. It's beyond the body. But in material consciousness, we mistake the soul, we mistake ourselves to be the body, and we mistake everyone else to be their body. So I say, 'My father's gone.'" I said, "No, he's not gone, he's right here." No, but he's gone. "Well, where is he gone to? Because his body's still there." So Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, "Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuke," that the body is a combination of different kinds of chemicals, but the soul is subtle, and it's beyond the... it's beyond the physical body, certainly, and it's even beyond the mind. Krishna says, "Bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano bhujir evacha ahankara itiyame bina prakritir ashtada." What are the elements around us? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Each one of these material elements being mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is more and more subtle. But then he says, "Apareyami tvastanyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yahidam darite jagat." That besides this inferior material nature, there's a superior nature, which is the soul. And it's transcendental to the matter. However, that transcendental, conscious, living entity, the soul, has misidentified himself with the body, and he thinks, "I'm the body." So if someone asks me who I am, I'll say, "Well, I'm, you know, William Suchak. I'm from Czechoslovakia. I'm from Lafayette, California. I went to Del Valle High School." You know, all these things. I identify, if I go to my 25th, what will it be, my 30th year reunion at my high school, everyone will say, "Hey, Willie, how you doing?" You know, and I'll think, "Yeah, here I am. I'm Mr. Willie Suchak from Del Valle High School." You know, I'll think all these things, but actually, how long? I was not here 100 years ago. I will not be here in 100 years from now. Maybe some of you will. Maybe. But I won't be here, but I'll be somewhere. And you know, 100 years ago, we weren't here. Now we're in this situation, and due to identification, we're thinking, "Oh, this is my homeland. This is my body. These are my family members. This is my car. Very important, my car." And all these anxieties that are there. My country. I have to defend my country. But these are temporary designations. My actual designation is beyond the body. It's eternal. It's something that exists without any change. So the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, which brings us to understand the nature of the soul and who we actually are, this is called the path of Sanatana Dharma. And any other path that takes us in a different direction to identify with the body or the mind or some other aspect of material nature gives us a completely different result. So Sri Shapanishad is giving us this delineation between the path, which brings us to understand our spiritual self, and all other paths, which bring us to material consciousness and more complication by involvement in the modes of material nature. Did anybody have some question or comment about the verse? Yes, Prabhuji.
In the purport, it mentioned that Krishna reestablished the Vedic Sati succession starting with Arjuna. But I know it's a trivial question, but in the Sati succession, Arjuna is mentioned.
You can speak in the mic, everyone can hear.
In the purport to this verse, it's mentioned that Krishna had reestablished the parampara system starting with Arjuna.
Yes.
I was faced with this question by someone that if that is the case, then why is Arjuna not mentioned in the Kesapya succession?
He is. He's mentioned right here in the Bhagavad Gita as the beginning of when Krishna 5,000 years ago spoke this. However, you're referring to the list of disciple succession that's in the that we keep in the beginning of the.
It's in the introduction.
Yeah, in the introduction. Now, a word about that and what disciplic succession actually means. Disciplic succession is not a body line. Now, body line means that through diksha initiation necessarily, but what it means is through instruction. Our disciplic succession is what is called a shiksha parampara. It comes from instruction. And that instruction, now the disciplic succession, as it comes down from Krishna, the names of those in the disciplic succession are not an exhaustive list of names of those in that parampara. But what it is a list of prominent names in different time periods of those who are, extremely prominent. There are many, many others who also pass on the disciplic succession. But just like in science, if you mention some of the great figures in science or philosophy coming down, what are some of the names that you might mention?
Einstein.
Yeah, and maybe Plato, Aristotle, and then going, of course, if we had a Kurnoth here, he'd give us a discourse, and give us an actual, but some of the names I heard, Einstein and Plato, Aristotle,
Newton.
Thank you. So now, of course, around them there are many other, prominent scientists, of course. But those are names of people who represent a particular era and period and definite course of, that science has taken. So throughout the ages, there are representatives of those who are prominent in the disciplic succession that are mentioned there in that list. That list was given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And they're not all linked through diksha, but through the idea that is passed down, the same mood and sentiment of worshiping Krishna that is passed down. And even you'll see there are some apparent gaps there. So this is explained like a river that's coming down from the top of a mountain and a lake, and doesn't come in a straight line. It comes down in a indirect way. And also even sometimes it goes underground, but it comes back up again somewhere else. Srivas Pandit wanted to comment more about that?
No.
Okay. So when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, as he's saying here, he's speaking to Arjuna and others who heard the Bhagavad Gita, He spoke it for everybody, actually, and it was passed down in that mood through disciplic succession, through Shiksha Parampara.
Yes.